Good morning. Count it a privilege to be in this place of worship this morning. Good to see each of you here, and trust that you've been experiencing God's blessings this morning as we have been worshiping in this place. It's a privilege to worship our sovereign God, God that will one day again pour out his judgment upon this earth. We were thinking about the flood, the great flood, and it's sobering to realize that someday there will again be a happening on this earth, and evil will be again, it will be taken care of. I guess that's one thing that did not disappear at the great flood, and that was sin. Sin is still with us today. There is much evil around us, but someday, next time that God pours out judgment, we know that sin and evil will be forever taken care of, and trust as Christians that we're looking forward to that time. I've had to wonder, and maybe you don't wonder these things, but how should a Christian relate to Halloween? Christians tend to ignore that as evil society, and I think that's good. And maybe we shouldn't focus too much on Halloween, and I don't want to lift it up as a day to recognize, but we can't ignore the fact that our society around us observes a day called Halloween, and it's upon us. And I had to wonder, how should a Christian relate to this? I mean, why do people take pumpkins, cut faces in them, and set them on the front porch? Why do they hang these human-like skeletons on their light posts? You see some places where they'll set up fake tombstones, make their yards look like graveyards. I mean, why do people do this? Walk into Walmart, into Home Depot, and they got these creepy, devilish monsters there, and when you walk by them, they start making these weird noises. And even our innocent children of the community, you know, they go up, they're taught never to talk to strangers. And yet, this one day of the year, they'll go up and ring doorbells and ask for candy. And I'm told that this day, this time of year, is when the police departments and the emergency personnel, it's their busiest time of year, they're in high alert. You know, why is it? I would hope that you would agree with me that we would find Halloween repulsive and devilish. Of course, maybe some of the candy part of it or something like that might have a little bit of appeal to it, but for the most part, we turn away from it and we wonder why. I've entitled the message this morning, The Devil's Holiday. I would like to take a verse, and I want us to remember this verse and focus on this verse. And it is taken from Colossians 1, verse 13. This verse came to my mind as I thought about this day and our society and what they are observing as Halloween. And I believe we need to, as Christians this morning, we need this verse to be the focus of our mind and of our attention. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son?" Now, if I understand this right, this was written to the Colossians. In Colossae, the people there, they came from a setting they were very familiar with occult practices. They believed in the influence of good and evil spirits. They worshiped many false gods. There were many devilish practices that they took part in, and this was to try to appease these gods. It was these people that came from this setting that made up the church here in Colossae or Colossians. These were the Colossians, and Paul is telling them. He is telling them, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This morning, I want that to be the focus. We will be talking a little bit about the devil's holiday, but yet we need to keep in mind there is a power of darkness, there is a kingdom of his dear Son, as it mentions here in verse 13. I would like to read this complete sentence. It starts at verse 9, and it goes through verse 17. Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." I would like to just again highlight the words in verse 13. The words "delivered us from" and "translated us into." That word "translated" means conveyed. And we can picture in our mind what it means to convey something. I would like to think about this illustration for a bit. Very few of us, if any of us, have spent any time locked up behind bars or in a prison. But many of us have visited jails or prisons. We've been inside. We know what it's like to go in and come back out. But we try to feel for those who are locked up and cannot get out. They're in there. Now imagine if somebody came and built a bridge out of that prison courtyard over top of that razor wire into freedom. Don't you think all of them would take access of that bridge? We would think someone unwise who stays when there is a way that they can be conveyed out of that prison cell over that razor wire into freedom. Why wouldn't they take that course? As Christians this morning, we have been delivered from and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that wonderful? No more slave master, no bondage, freedom from the crime of sin, freedom from awaiting judgment. But the question is, why? Why do we find the things of this earth so appealing? How wise would it be for us to go back across that bridge, back into the prison cell again? Can we keep ourselves freed from what we have been delivered from? There is a strong pull that is pulling us back from where we came from. And this morning, we need to be alert that we would not be pulled back into the kingdom of darkness. The struggle is, and I think the trouble sometimes is we don't see it as such a contrast. We see too many similarities and we don't see that stark contrast. But yet we need to realize that it's either the kingdom of darkness, which is evil, or it's the kingdom of light, which is God, and where I trust that this morning we are as Christians. That is a burden on my heart this morning, especially as we think of what we've entitled the devil's holiday. My burden is that if we do not war against evil, it will overpower us. If we do not see the power of darkness for what it is and what it represents, that it will again overpower us. The devil's holiday, really, it's not a holiday because holiday means holy day. But holiday also means a day of celebration. This is darkness. Can we be lured back into darkness? Are we keeping ourselves in the kingdom of light? We know that it's the devil's agenda to break down the Christian and to get him back enslaved again in darkness. We do not want that. But if we do not stay on high alert, it may happen. And we do not want that. I'm going to take just a couple minutes and give us just a little bit about this thing called Halloween. And again, I don't want too much focus to be on that. But again, it's the power of darkness. And we want to keep ourselves free from it. And sometimes we just smile at what happens and when we go on with our life. But in reality, I feel this morning that what we're doing is we're actually smiling at the power of darkness. Halloween, according to the dictionary, is a night of October 31st, which is tomorrow night, when children dress up as ghosts, witches, and monsters and go house to house and ask for candy. Now, is that really all it is? Sometimes we ask the question, where did it come from? And we think maybe that'll help us. And in my mind, I can easily imagine that it came from some satanic cult way back in history somewhere. And it has carried on, it has carried on up into present day. Well, I'm not sure if I can answer all those questions for you, but Halloween was introduced into the U.S. in the early 1900s by the Irish and Scots. They brought it into America, and it has pretty much filtered through American culture. Halloween can be traced back further than that, back at least 2,000 years to a group called the Celts. And they lived in Europe, parts of Ireland, the United Kingdom. They had a pagan festival called Samhain, and this festival involved the honor of the dead, and they would sacrifice crops and animals in honor of the dead. And I'll spare a lot of the details. There's a lot of tie-in with spirit, the spirit world, and trying to do things to try to relate to spirit activity. And just a side note, that's one of the reasons why you see people dress up at Halloween. That would tie back to when they felt at Halloween, the dead would come back to life, their spirits would be roaming around, so if you didn't want them to do something bad to you, you needed to dress up so you look like them, so that they would leave you alone. They wouldn't recognize you as a person. And that's where that tradition came from, and we still see it today. So there is a lot of tie-in to occultic practices. Halloween, the word actually comes from All Hallow Evening. And this is something that it was actually to be a sacred time, but it got turned into an evil time. Another note about Halloween is many world cultures have something similar to this, and it's often referred to as a Day of the Dead, because that's what Halloween does. It focuses on death. It does not focus on life. And one thing that we are spared from and we want to keep ourselves free of, and that is what goes on in the underworld. And there are many things that happen around this time of year that we don't hear of, thankfully, but they are, will suffice it to say, they are very evil. You may have heard of Wicca, which is actually is the name for witchcraft. And October 31st is their most important festival, which that'd be tomorrow. And Halloween is the beginning of their new year. Now, we might think that this is way out there somewhere and we don't need to be bothered with it, relate to it. I'm afraid it's closer than what we think, and we need to keep our guards up against it. Just point of interest, those of you who were at Elkton High Security last session for service, chaplain told me after the service that there were Wicca supporters at that service. So they have witchcraft in prison, and we praise God that they come out to hear the gospel message. We're not sure what inspires them to come out, but we want to take the opportunity to share God's word with them. So think about that. Next time you go to Elkton, there will probably be Wicca persons there. We struggle to call it a church, but in the 1700s and before, I understand that anyone who practiced any type of witchcraft, they were burned at the stake or something was done to them, and I think that was even here in the United States. But now, the IRS will actually give tax-exempt status to the Wiccan religion. And we see what's happening here. It's not as evil as what it was. Now, that's not a right statement, but that's the way we tend to think. We become used to it. It becomes commonplace. And back in the 1500s, 1700s, if you practiced witchcraft, you would be burned at the stake. Now today the government is giving tax-exempt status, which qualifies it as a church, to the Wiccan religion, which is witchcraft. Are the powers of darkness gaining a stronger grip on humanity? I believe they are. One other thought that I want to throw out about this thing of Halloween, and that brings us up to what we want to talk about this morning, is if you do any studying about the history of Halloween, and if you do any reading, especially if it's in Answers in Genesis, you will find that there's a thought out there that Halloween goes back to the, got a little medical emergency in the back. Just take a minute to let that take, just pause and offer some prayer. All right, we'll think they'll be able to take care of things. If you do any reading Answers in Genesis or anything like that, they will take you back even before the Tower of Babel. And what their conclusion is, and I'll just try and keep this brief, their conclusion is that anytime you have a cultural activity that happens in a lot of the cultures of the world, it goes back to when the people groups were all together. So what they think is that there was a time, or this practice actually went back to when the people groups were all one. So there are some prominent historians that feel that this practice actually goes way back before the Tower of Babel. And we don't know whether that actually happens or actually happened. But their thought is that this day may have actually started out as a time of remembrance for those who died during the flood. The people would have spent time remembering those things. And, you know, that's hard for us to even imagine, even think about, that Halloween could have been a time that started out as an okay practice, a time when there was sacrifices and when there was, when they did actually remember the death of people who had died in a good way. But I just throw that out because the point I would like to make with that is sometimes what starts out as good actually can become evil. You think of our other holidays that we are approaching the season of. And if we don't promote the truth, what will happen? We know that evil will overpower what is to be truth. And I would like for us this morning to just think about, for the remainder of the message, I would like for us to keep this thought in focus that if we do not war against evil, it will overpower us. And we do not know what all happens in the power of darkness. We do not know what all happens in the spirit world where Satan is involved. But my burden is that we as Christians would not feed the devil's celebration, if I may use those words. And I believe that there's things that we need to remember that will help us not feed the devil's celebration. And I believe that's what's happening this time of year in our society. And it is up to us as Christians to stand for what is truth. First thing I'd like for us to remember is that our greatest threat as Christians, our greatest threat is the power of darkness. We might be tempted to grin at some of the pranks that go on at this time of year. We might find it amusing to see how people decorate their homes and their houses and see what happens. But yet we need to think about what power is driving these activities. What makes people do these things? It can be easy for us to forget that there is darkness that are driving this behavior. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." How much hope is there for you if you fall into the claws of a lion? This morning, as Christians, if we want to destroy the devil's celebration, we must remember the power of darkness is our greatest threat. And we cannot underestimate this power that we face, because it is, I believe, ever so much more prominent than it was years ago, and it is creeping in on us through many different avenues. And we cannot keep focused on the kingdom of light, or this power will overtake us. Second thing I'd like for us to remember is that the devil celebrates when men love darkness rather than light. There is a verse in John 3:19, and it says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The question for us this morning, as we think about the powers of darkness and the evil that is out there, the question is, what do we really love? I don't know how much Satan can tell about what is going on in our minds. Do you think he can detect our thoughts and our feelings? I'm not sure if he can tell what really interests us. But I don't know that he needs to. I don't know if he really needs to know what's going on in our thoughts. Don't you think he can tell what we really love by just watching our lives? Do you think he can tell what we really love by listening to our conversations? By hearing how we talk, how we respond, by seeing how we act? The challenge for us is, can he tell that our goal in life is to follow the light and point others to the light by observing our life? I believe this morning the devil celebrates when men love darkness rather than light. And I feel this morning that I am talking to a group of people who love the light and want to follow the light, and I rejoice in that. But yet we need to remember, in every area of our life, that we follow the light, or else we will feed the devil's celebration. Third thing I would like for us to remember is the devil uses harmless things to trap us in darkness. Some of these things that happen this time of year may seem so harmless. What is harmless about a pumpkin? How about a black cat? You know, there's, and the candy. You know, there's things that can seem so harmless. But yet we need to remember that it's those things that Satan can use to trap us in darkness. We know that there are practices out there, and there are practices that we hear of, and we wonder about them. And there's really no explanation for what happens. And it might seem harmless. It might be things we do for health, practices that we get involved with for doing other things. And they might seem harmless, but are they? As I mentioned, we are on the brink of more holidays here in the next number of weeks, months. And again, some of those things that we become involved with, they can seem so harmless. There is shopping, there is eating, and yet if we're not careful, Satan can use those things to lure us back into the kingdom of darkness. Let's remember this morning that his goal is to use whatever he can to draw us back into his kingdom. Number four, remember the devil celebrates when he can taint good with evil. And this is building off of our last point. It might be a harmless thing. And in this point, we want to think about when he takes something good and mixes it with evil. I went by a church on Friday, and they had a sign out announcing trunk or treat. Trunk or treat. This is a new version of the trick or treat. And it's something that churches can do for the community. Rather than having your children go door to door, which is not so safe anymore, they're suggesting that take a church parking lot and you park cars in there, open up the trunk and fill the trunk with treats. And the children can just go back and forth between the cars. And you can use it as a way to reach out to the community. You have your community come into your church. The question is, should we try to Christianize Halloween or keep totally clear from it? I think history can help us answer this question. Back in 900 AD, there was a pope that decreed that November 1 should be a day to remember all the saints of the church who died, as well as those martyred. So Halloween is a day of death. So he decided that for the Christian, if we took a day after, we could use it to remember all those who died, all the saints who died. Actually, later then, in the Roman Catholic Church, they took a day, and I think this was November the 2nd, they called it All Saints Day. You may have heard of that. And that was to remember those who died a martyr's death. So that would have been another day, right next to what we call Halloween. The question I have, though, is which day prevailed? Which one do you hear of this time of year? Do you hear of All Saints Day? And I forget what this other one was called. But yet, I don't think so. I think we hear of the prominent one, and it is the one that is tied to the powers of darkness. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We can try to make Christian activities for Halloween, or we can simply focus on doing kingdom work. We can focus on the kingdom of light and present the gospel message rather than trying to make something attractive out of Halloween and call it Christian. But remember, the devil celebrates when he can taint good with evil. Number five, remember the devil celebrates when he sees the Christian vex his righteous soul. And you'll probably recognize those words from the book of Peter, and that was talking about Lot in the Old Testament. This verse in Peter says, "For that righteous man who was Lot, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." I would like to suggest this morning that this would happen if Christians started participating in what we would call harmless Halloween activities. It would vex our righteous soul. You know, there's some things that we think they're not so bad we can be involved with. But I am of the persuasion this morning that they would have a detrimental effect on our soul if we were involved with them. What happened to Lot? When he pitched his tent towards Sodom, what happened to him? He eventually went the way, started becoming more involved in the lifestyle of Sodom. Now, we know the Bible calls him a righteous man, and we leave that in God's hands. But I think the challenge for us this morning is that if we start becoming involved in these activities, it's going to wear us down spiritually. Our goal should be to stay as far away from evil as possible. Number six, let's remember this morning that the devil celebrates when he sees the Christian take a step in his direction. And this may be summing up what we have been talking about already this morning. What does Satan like to see? He likes to see someone taking the way that looks easy. He likes to see someone that chooses what feels good. He likes to see someone that can't say no. You know, just a few weeks ago, we read the account of the Garden of Eden, and where Eve made those choices that led her away from God. Don't you think Satan was celebrating when he saw Eve reaching out for that fruit? Why is it so hard to say no? Do we choose the easier way? Or do we choose the right way? Do we say no when we should say no? Or is it easier just to say yes because we feel that pressure on our lives? Remember, Satan is watching us. And I believe he celebrates when he sees a Christian taking a step in his direction. Number seven, and I want this to be our focus this morning. When you think of the power of darkness, it can become depressing and it can become a little bit discouraging when you think of the powers that are out there. But the last point I would like for us to remember, especially as we think of the fact that we might call this the devil's holiday, but let's remember this morning that Jesus' blood will overcome the power of darkness. Jesus' blood has overcome the power of darkness. I would like to just read a few verses for us to remember. And this first one is Jesus' words to Saul on the Damascus Road. He says, to open their eyes, this is Jesus talking of what he will do, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We do not need to be in the power of darkness. I believe we need to respect it and understand it for what it is. But yet we are in the kingdom of light because of the blood of Jesus. And I praise God for that this morning. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's realize this morning that there is a strong force out there, and this force wants to destroy us. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want you to remember that this morning. We can fear the power of darkness, and we can let that fear disturb us. But yet, we have a greater power that we have. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So how should the Christian relate to Halloween? I would say let's steer clear of anything to do with it, that anything that supports it. I know there's only so much that we can do. Let's promote the kingdom of light. And let's remember that if we do not war against evil, it will overpower us. And sometimes that seems like such a contrast between the power of darkness and the kingdom of light. But yet we need to remember that it's those that little steps that'll take us back across that bridge into that prison cell. We have been freed. Let's walk in the kingdom of light. Let's remember our verse. Who
God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And let's walk as children of light. May God bless each of you. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.